It's 23 January, it's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Sunday CG Report. Escape from L.A. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, let's see here. People that are watching this later, okay, not the streaming online folks, but the people that watch this later, I normally have photos for the Sunday update that match the, what I'm talking about. I did not do that this week. It was too much effort. My brain is not working because I've had COVID all week, and I'm surprised, actually, that I was able to get to church today, but the Lord was good. He got us back in shape just in time for it. And so I rushed yesterday to try to get everything done. Everything got done except those photos. So you're going to get a bunch of photos. I don't remember what I got, mountains or streams or little bunny rabbits or something, but that's what you get. Let's see here. And then my guess is at this point, today is Sunday, and my guess is that there will be no Wednesday CG report. Okay. It's probably at 0.2%. That may be guessing high. It's probably 0.0001% that I'm going to do one. I just don't have the energy. So unless, I sleep really well tonight, I get the sermon done on Monday and just have Tuesday as free as a bird, I probably won't do a Wednesday report. Apologies about that. Okay, and then I guess I should say this just so that it's done, is I would really appreciate it if nobody emailed me like until February. I just would really appreciate it. I can't think straight. It's very hard to concentrate. If somebody sends me a request about what does this mean in the Bible, it's going to break my brain. So better you just don't email me. I don't need to see anybody's video about the coronavirus, and I have no need for any of those things except to just sleep. So thank you for not sending me any emails for quite a while. Let's see here. Our first article from Israel today would be Times of Israel. Netanyahu yet to get fourth shot of COVID vaccine, says TV, as if that's something that they should be worried about in Israel. Yeah. Opposition leader Netanyahu has yet to receive a fourth dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. I remember when you were supposed to get your vaccine and that was it. You're going to be taken care of and there won't be any problem. And all of a sudden it's two, and then it's you got to get boosted. And now it's if you're, not boosted and you got to get a second one, and it just goes on and on and on. And they're worried about a guy that's not even their leader anymore. Quoting unnamed sources in Netanyahu's circle, the network says the former prime minister took an antibody test and plans to get the fourth dose soon. Oh, boy, I'm so glad to hear it. While still serving as premier, he was the first person in Israel to be vaccinated. Netanyahu, 72, later received a booster shot after Israel began offering third vaccine doses over the summer. So far, Israel's only made fourth doses available to people over 60, the immunocompromised, and medical workers. From the Times of Israel again, COVID vaccine for Israel babies. Yes, and toddlers expected by April, says health official. Babies. They're talking about little babies vaccinating them. In Israel, vaccines are available now for everybody aged 5 and over. I believe by April, this will be expanded for any age above 6 months. Pfizer is in the process of conducting clinical trials to lower the approved age for its vaccine from 5 years to 6 months. Pfizer reported last month that in its ongoing trial of children aged 6 months to 5 years, no safety concerns were identified and the vaccine demonstrated a favorable safety profile. The company is currently checking responses to a regimen of 3 mini doses for under 5s after finding that a 2-dose approach provoked a strong response among children aged 6 to 24 months, but wasn't as strong in children ages 2 to 5 years old. So there you go. This is what they're worried about in Israel, babies being vaccinated. From the Times of Israel again. This is last week, 10%. Now, everybody in the Knesset had to be vaccinated, every one of them. 10% of the Knesset absent due to virus as COVID spreads among lawmakers. and we're going to go out and get our fourth and fifth from the Times of Israel. Gantz becomes the latest governor minister to catch COVID-19. Gantz, 62, has had four doses of the coronavirus vaccine. And this is Israel's main thing. This is almost all I could find of value in the Israel news this week. I mean, there were some other things, but they were mostly not really interesting. From Israel Hayom, four Israeli women arrested after allegedly spying for Iran. Now, I'll say something. I find traitors about the most detestable group of people on the planet. I can't think of, you know, that's in our culture to this very day. We call people Benedict Arnold just simply because he was a traitor to the cause of the founding of this nation. And to have four people arrested who were spying for Iran from Israel just makes me, I just very upset about that. Four Jewish Israeli women have recently been arrested on suspicion of spying for Iran, the Shin Bet Security Agency announced after a gag order was lifted. After an extended investigation, it transpired that the suspects were contacted on social media by a man calling himself Rambod Namdar and pretending to be Jewish, but was in fact an Iranian operative. After establishing a relationship, he tasked the suspects with photographing sites across Israel for which they were paid. One suspect, a 40-year-old woman from Holon, was allegedly in touch with Namdar for several years, during which he asked her to secretly photograph the U.S. Embassy branch office in Tel Aviv, the inside of the Interior Ministry building in her city, and the National Security Agency and other locations. The suspect's husband was aware of her connection with Namdar and even gave her a lift to the U.S. Embassy. Another suspect, a 57-year-old woman from Beit Shemesh, kept in touch with Namdar for 4 years and allegedly completed several tasks at his bequest, making close to $5,000. She also shared with the operative footage from the swearing-in of her son into the IDF and footage of the swearing-in of the 23rd Knesset. She also reportedly installed hidden cameras in her at-home massage room and tried to develop a relationship with MK Keti Shitrit, updating Namdar on the ties. Two other suspects are a 47-year-old woman from Kfar Saba and a 50-year-old woman from Jerusalem. Both shared photographs and information with Namdar. All four suspects are Jewish immigrants from Iran or descendants of Iranian immigrants. Some admitted they had suspicions that Namdar was an Iranian operative, but kept in contact with him nonetheless. All four suspects were indicted in the Jerusalem District Court. Their names are barred from publication following a gag order issued by the court at the request of suspects' attorneys. We've got an entire government full of these type of people right now that are sitting up in the White House and in the Department of Justice, etc. And to think that they are in our nation and they are literally selling this nation off little bit by little bit is, you know, I mean, the parallel is ironic almost that they've got this going on in Israel. Well, we've actually got it. Our government officials are the traitors. From the Times of Israel, Israel said to secretly ink unprecedented deal to supply gas to Lebanon via Jordan. This is completely unexpected. The deal was brokered by Amos Hochstein, Washington's special envoy and coordinator for international energy affairs, and signed in secret over the weekend. It will see Israel transfer gas from the offshore Leviathan field to Jordan. From there, it will be transferred to Syria and on to Lebanon. However, the network said the move will require repairing and extending gas line that flows from Syria to Lebanon, which could take several years. The agreement was approved by the U.S. and was also coordinated with Vladimir Putin. It said the deal was partly designed to provide Lebanon with an alternative to Iran as it seeks to recover from a deepening economic crisis. All right, we got some news from Christianity Today. Sam Koblish, Sam Koblish from Minnesota. He's the son of gospel singer Dave Koblish, who used to travel with Billy Graham. He implores all to listen to your sermons. This is somebody that's been watching the updates, and you know how I prompt people, please watch the sermons. I think you'll benefit from them. In particular, to put in the time listening to Genesis and likely all the rest. Just haven't got through all of it yet. While I'm thankful for the prophecy updates, they are nothing. His words, the blessings are in God's word, and through your teaching, God has blessed me beyond measure. So I would ask you to please, I've been asking this now for, I think we've been doing these for 11 years or 10 years or something. Please watch some sermons. Don't watch prophecy updates only. All you're doing is you're getting weekly information that will temporarily fill your mind with something going on in the world, probably depress you, make you suicidal, maybe. But the best thing for you to do is to focus on God's word. Okay, so thank you, Sam. From the Washington Post, Pope Francis writes to controversial nun, thanking her for 50 years of LGBTQ ministry. 50 years of this type of nonsense going on in the... Anyway, from CBN. YouTube labels John MacArthur's sermon hate speech after he said God made us male and female. We knew this was coming, but here we are. Okay, and listen to this, and then I'll tell you what I did in response to it. Pastor John MacArthur preached a sermon about biblical sexuality, which, as CBN's FaithWire reported, was part of an effort by pastors across North America to protest a new Canadian law that took effect on January 8th after being pushed through Parliament with little debate. YouTube removed MacArthur's sermon from its platform. Our team has reviewed your content, and unfortunately, we think it violates our hate speech policy. So they think it violates it, but you know, which is insane enough, but that they come out and they say this. Keep waiting. I got something for you. YouTube said, we've removed the following content from YouTube. This is what he said. There is no such thing as transgender. You are either XX or XY. That's it. That's Pastor John MacArthur. I'll read it again. There's no such thing as transgender. He's talking about human sexuality. You are either XX or XY. That's it. Okay, first, we've had 6,000 years of human history, and we've evolved in just 10 years to have how many different genders? Okay, I don't think so. So what I did is I went to Google. Google, you type it in, and Google will provide you an answer before anything else. They always give you what they want you to know, okay? And then if you don't agree with Google, you can go down and look for your own whatever sites. Google, this is Google's words. Humans have two sex chromosomes, the X and the Y. Females have two chromosomes in their cells, while males have both X and Y chromosomes in their cells. Okay, so Google is YouTube's parent company. So YouTube needs to cancel Google, and Google needs to cancel itself, and they need to ban themselves because that is their, and you go onto YouTube and you just type in what defines DNA in a male and a female, and you'll get exactly what John MacArthur said, and there's hundreds, maybe thousands of them, okay? I checked out a couple just to see. They're right there. They all need to be banned, but Google needs to ban itself, okay? My question is, who is following the science now? We've been hearing this now. We've had that shoved down our throats for the past year and a half, 2 years. Follow the science. Follow the science. And there is no science in what they're talking about with this climate change and with this nonsense that we're going through. Okay, I'm sick. I could have died. I got better. This is what happens in the world. This is, you know what? I'm so upset that they did that they actually said this. The first thing that came up, Google, put it up there. And they've banned that guy, at least that video from him, from their platform saying, we think this violates our speech policy. Insane. This is literally a crazy world we're living in. From American Faith, Bible podcasts are numbers 1 and 2 on Apple's chart. Interest in the Bible is expanding. In the whole Apple podcast, and there's billions of podcasts. I don't care what company or what somebody does on this planet. If you type it into podcasts, there will be somebody talking about it. Okay, you want to know about any AI thing. You want to know about any how to work on a Sony camera, you know. It doesn't matter. You type it in, they have a podcast. It'll explain things to you that you can listen to. In all of the world, the top two listened to podcasts are Bible podcasts. Okay, now, unfortunately, there's a little problem with both of them, in my opinion, but at least they are Bible related. The two most popular podcasts in the U.S. right now are not about sports, news, or even pop culture. They're about the Bible. The Bible in a Year, hosted by a Catholic priest, and I have some friends that listen to it, and they actually don't mind it. They say he sticks with the Bible for the most part. I don't know that. I haven't listened, but his name is Mike Schmitz. He's number one in the U.S. on Apple's podcast charts, while the Bible Recap, hosted by Tara Lee Cobble, is number two. The Bible in a Year features Schmitz reading scripture and providing commentary and podcasts that span around 20 to 25 minutes. In the Bible Recap, Cobble walks alongside the listener and reviews that day's Bible reading. Each podcast lasts around 8 minutes. The podcasts rank higher than podcasts by the New York Times, NBC, Joe Rogan, and NPR. Great stuff. Okay, some news from the Mideast and Africa today, from the Times of Israel. As time runs low, oh, you know, I might as well mention this right now while I'm at it. Everything that we do at the Superior Word, everything is on a podcast. A couple guys have done all of the work, and they put that everything that I record onto podcasts, and it goes onto a couple of sites, Sermon Audio and our website. Also, I think iTunes and maybe Apple, and I don't know all the places, but if you need to know, let me know, and I can get you the links. But everything we do, and then we also have my daily commentary, which I write out each day, and it gets posted. We're in the book of Acts chapter 4 right now. That is also on podcast. A guy in the UK records it, and then he sends it to me, and we post it, and it gets posted all over the place as well. And then we also have other options on the Acts as far as you can read it on YouTube, you can read it on Rumble as it's scrolling with music or something behind it, or you can turn off the music. We've got it on the Superior Word website. You've got a million different ways of accessing the daily commentary, so you got no excuse to not do that and watch the Superior Word sermons. Okay, so we got some news from Mideast and Africa today from the Times of Israel. As time runs low at Iran nuke talks, White House focuses blame on reckless Trump. In recent days, both State Department spokesman Ned Price and White House spokesperson Jen Psaki, I actually have a U there, I guess her name is pronounced Jen Psaki, have attacked Trump for pulling the U.S. out of the 2015 deal. Nobody got my pun there. Nobody got it. Her name is spelled P-S-A-K-I, and there happens to be a U there instead. Okay, never mind. The decision to focus on Trump is a deliberate one, as the current talks in Vienna aimed at bringing these sides back into the deal head toward a conclusion. On Tuesday, Price answered a question on the Vienna talks with a comment on Trump. "It's worth spending just a moment on how we got here," Price said. "It's deeply unfortunate that because of an ill-considered or perhaps unconsidered decision by the previous administration, that this administration came into office without the stringent verification and monitoring protocols that were in place." They were not stringent. They would have had a bomb in no time. Price said the Trump administration promised a better deal that never came close, and instead Iran has been able to gallop forward with its nuclear promise. All of this is untrue. Just if you're not aware of it, it is all untrue. I talk about it from week to week. On Wednesday, Psaki said none of Iran's increased capabilities or aggressive actions they have taken through proxy wars around the world would have advanced if Trump had not recklessly pulled out of the nuclear deal and with no thought as to what might come next. So just unbelievable. These people, it's like they open their mouth and out comes lies. That's all they have in their portfolio is just utter lies. From Zero Hedge, flouting sanctions, Iran says oil sales have enjoyed staggering rise over past year. While the seemingly endless negotiations to revive the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, which was ended by President Trump in 2018 when the president reimposed heavy sanctions on Iran's economy, have gone nowhere, it appears that Iran no longer has a pressing need to get to the finish line while conceding to all of the U.S. demands. For one reason, China is flagrantly and openly flouting U.S.-imposed sanctions blocking purchases of Iranian oil. Well, if China is, that means that Iran is. So everything in the last article is a complete lie because they could do something about this, and they will not. Indeed, according to Iran's oil minister, sales of Iranian crude oil, gas condensates, and petrochemical products have seen a staggering rise in the past 10 months. And while he didn't thank China directly, it was clear who the buyer is. The country which continues to demonstrate to the world that it will never follow U.S. demands when it comes to its own geopolitical interests. Addressing lawmakers in Tehran, Javid Oji said that Iran's budget for the year to start March 21 has factored in daily oil sales of 1.2 million barrels. That's daily. Oji's comment came after a December report from Bloomberg that China had ramped up its buying of cheap Iranian crude after independent refiners were granted additional import quotas for 2021. The nation imported almost 18 million barrels in November, equivalent to about 600,000 barrels a day. That's up almost 40% from October and the biggest volume since August. December purchases were likely a continuation of the recent trend. So we're doing deals with these people, and we're letting them get away with everything. They're not going to deal with us. The entire thing is just, it's like we're living in bizarre world. From the Al Monitor, Pentagon says Iran is behind Muddy Water hacking group. They know this, and yet nobody will do anything about Iran, so they're just going to let them continue what they're doing here as well. The U.S. military identified Iranian intelligence as being behind a group of hackers widely known as Muddy Water, confirming previous reports by private cybersecurity groups. Muddy Water has reportedly attacked both government and private enterprise networks in the Middle East, but has also targeted organizations in the United States. From Breitbart, three French police injured after attack by Allah Akbar yelling man. Now, of course, I report on this every single time, and the last line is always the same. It gets almost nauseous repeating myself, but just to keep you reminded, police were about to subdue and arrest the 36-year-old, but all three officers, two female police and a male officer, were taken to the hospital to deal with injuries they had sustained in the attack. The 36-year-old, meanwhile, is said to already be known to the police and was ordered to undergo a psychiatric evaluation. Until they identify the problem, they will never cure the disease. It will never happen. Epic Times. Biden administration donates more than $300 million of your dollars to Afghanistan. NSC spokeswoman Emily Horn said in a government statement that the U.S. remains the single largest donor of humanitarian aid in Afghanistan. If they're not using it for their people, then they can use their money for other things. They got billions and billions of dollars worth of our equipment. Why do they need our money? And the latest donation brings American aid for the impoverished nation and Afghan refugees in the region to nearly $782 million, almost $1 billion, since the chaotic ending of the 20-year war. So we're paying off our overlords is what's happening. From Breitbart, Kabul suffers a blackout after Taliban fails to pay power bill. We give them $782 million and they can't pay the power bill in their own capital. Now something interesting from Mongolia. From the Aki Press, Mongolia confirmed 2,135 new daily COVID-19 infections. Remember, I'm going to tell you again in case you haven't been watching these reports. Mongolia had no cases. None in the whole world. They had, I think, four, and they were all people that came in from out of Mongolia. They had none. Okay, that was as of February. And they started vaccinating their people. They vaccinated almost everybody in that nation. It's one of the most vaccinated nations on the planet. And since February, their numbers have gone just like this, straight up. Okay, so here we are. The nationwide coronavirus tally in Mongolia has increased to 412,677, while the death toll grew to 2,016. 2,016 people that, and I don't need to say it. Currently, 8,210 people are receiving hospital treatment for COVID-19. 36,229 others with mild symptoms are being treated at home. Unbelievable. Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? Okay, does anybody remember it was a week or two ago I talked about the hot sun that they developed in China? Was it last week? 17 million degrees or something? No, it was centigrade. It wasn't Fahrenheit. It was super hot. Okay, that's the sun that they developed in China. This week, from the South China Morning Post, China has built an artificial moon that simulates low-gravity conditions on Earth. China has built a research facility that simulates the low-gravity environment on the moon. And it was inspired by experiments using magnets to levitate a frog. The facility could provide valuable research for China's lunar exploration activities, according to scientists involved in the project. Located in the eastern city of Suzhou, the simulator is expected to be officially launched in the coming months. The lead scientist from the China University of Mining and Technology said it was the first of its kind in the world and would take lunar simulation to a whole new level. The simulator can make gravity disappear, Lee said. While low gravity can be achieved in an aircraft or a drop tower, it's momentary. Has anybody seen that, the way they do it? You got your aircraft and you're flying and they get real elevated real quickly, or they drop very quickly and it causes you to have no gravity, but it's only a minute or two. That's how they film movies and stuff that are no gravity. Okay, well, here, this is China's resolution to that. Lee said in the simulator, that effect can last as long as you want. They just turn this thing on and it'll last as long as you want. At its heart is a vacuum chamber that houses a mini moon measuring about 2 feet in diameter. The artificial lunar landscape is made up of rocks and dust that are as light as those on the moon, where gravity is about 1/6 as powerful as the gravity on the Earth, partly because they are supported by a magnetic field. When the field is strong enough, it can magnetize and levitate things, from a living frog to a chestnut, against the gravitational force. Some experiments, such as an impact test, need just a few seconds. From the university's State Key Laboratory for Geomechanics and Deep Underground Engineering. But others, such as creep testing, can take several days. I don't know. I'd never heard of anything like that, but somebody thought it up, and they're going to switch the baby on and start practicing their lunar stuff. Okay, it's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the Book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. From Free West Media. Life insurer refuses to cover vaccine death. Now, this is in France, but this is not unexpected. Although vaccination is recognized as the cause of death by doctors and the insurance company, it is refused to pay out. The reason is because the side effects of the corona jabs are known and published. They argue that the disease took part in an experiment at its own risk. Yeah! COVID-19 in itself is not classed as a critical illness. According to the company, an experimental vaccination resulting in death is like suicide. The insurance company justified the refusal of payment to the family by stating that the use of experimental medication or treatments, including corona injections, is expressly excluded from the insurance contract. The family's subsequent lawsuit against the insurance company has been unsuccessful. Now, remember, this is in France where it's mandatory, okay? The court allegedly justified its ruling as follows. The side effects of the experimental vaccine are published, and the deceased could not claim to have known nothing about it when he voluntarily took the vaccine. There is no law or mandate in France that compelled him to be vaccinated, except them saying he must go get vaccinated. But that doesn't matter. Hence, his death is essentially suicide. That's the court's ruling. Since suicide is not covered by the policy from the outset, the insurance refuses to budge. Zero hedge. I know. Zero hedge. AMA defy. I'm sorry, you shouldn't have laughed like that. No, I'm just going to be laughing. I got low resistance to everything right now. If you make me laugh, I'm going to laugh. If you start crying, I'm going to start bawling, okay? All right, Zero Hedge. AMA defies Supreme Court ruling. Own code of ethics calls for employer vaccine mandates. This is the American Medical Association. The president of the Chicago-based AMA wrote that employers should impose COVID vaccine mandates as a condition of employment. Last week's decision by the SCOTUS invalidating the Biden admin's attempt to force employers to do so should not prevent these employers from doing what must be done in the name of public health, requiring vaccines to protect their workers, our communities, and our nation from the ravages of this pandemic. The AMA's Code of Medical Ethics, Opinion 211, says this. This is their Code of Ethics. Informed consent to medical treatment is fundamental in both ethics and law. Patients have the right to receive information and ask questions about recommended treatments so that they can make well-considered decisions about care. Successful communication in the patient-to-physician relationship fosters trust and supports shared decision-making. The process of informed consent occurs when communication between a patient and physician results in the patient's authorization or agreement to undergo a specific medical intervention. In other words, if you don't agree, that is your right, according to their own code of ethics, and they are saying that doesn't matter anymore. Morality is declining, as we just saw. Here's some news on that. From CNN, man becomes first person in Colombia with non-terminal illness to die by legal euthanasia. You're not going to die of whatever you got, and you just, okay, I want to die. I got, you know, my girlfriend broke my heart today. I'd like to get euthanized. This is now legal there. From Breitbart, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy vows to sign bill expanding right to abortion until the moment of birth. Breitbart, Delaware Attorney General sues town over ordinance requiring dignified disposal of fetal remains. So you can throw it in a garbage dump, and that doesn't matter. But if you want to tell your people that they have to bury a dead human being that they just murdered, you can't do it. From the Business Insider, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signals he's open to a Mississippi-style 15-week abortion ban. Thank you, Ron DeSantis. There's a voice of reason in this issue calling out in the nation. Texas was doing that. If I think of it, I'll include it next week. From Governor Noem up in South Dakota, she's doing the same thing. There are few voices of reason left in this nation, but they are not many, I got to tell you. Okay, some other news from around the world. And as I say each week, I've said it twice today, I'll say it again, please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons. Okay, from the Epic Times. Virginia governor begins withdrawing state from 10-state cap-and-trade scheme. They got a Republican governor in there. They weren't sure if he was going to be a rhino or if he's actually going to start doing stuff. He's doing stuff. Virginia's new Republican governor is moving to withdraw his state from a regional carbon emissions trading exchange to which 10 coastal and New England states currently belong. A move that promises to be a major setback for the left-wing environmentalist agenda. Good. On the day he took office, Governor Youngkin signed Executive Order 9, which directs state officials to reevaluate Virginia's participation in the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative and immediately begin regulatory processes to end it. The RGGI describes itself as a cooperative, market-based effort among the states of Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Virginia to cap and reduce CO2 emissions from the power sector. Such systems aim to reduce the quantity of carbon dioxide, the gas expelled from our lungs when we exhale, that is released into the atmosphere on the controversial theory that it contributes to global warming. Virginia's participation in RGGI risks contributing to the increased cost of electricity for our citizens, Youngkin's order states. Dominion Energy stated that RGGI will cost ratepayers between $1 billion and $1.2 billion over the next 4 years. So he just cut that right out, saved them a little money. The benefits promised by RGGI have not materialized, no kidding, because it's a liberal project, while the costs have skyrocketed, no kidding, because it's a liberal project. All right, from Zero Hedge. Union Pacific bashes Los Angeles' social justice reform, threatens to leave city amid soaring train thefts. Now, I don't know if you have followed this. You've seen it. Has anybody else seen it? This is unbelievable what's been going on in L.A. If you haven't seen it, you ought to look at the photos on the internet or just type in videos about people looting trains in L.A. You will not believe what is going on, okay? A top Union Pacific Railroad official threatened to leave Los Angeles over the district attorney's progressive measures to lower criminal theft offenses amid a wave of criminal gangs looting rail cars. Adrian Guerrero, Union Pacific's director of public affairs, wrote a letter to the L.A. County District Attorney, George Gascon, denouncing the local government's relaxed criminal policies, or rather, well-intentioned social justice goals, as a catalyst for a wave of rail car thefts. We find ourselves coming back to the same results with the L.A. County criminal justice system. Criminals are caught and arrested, turned over to local authorities for booking, arraigned before local courts, charges are reduced to a misdemeanor or a petty offense, and the criminal is released after paying a nominal fine. He said most criminals robbing trains search for Amazon and UPS packages. They're released back into the streets within a day. Even with all these arrests made, the no-cash bail policy and extended time frame for suspects to appear in court is causing re-victimization to UP by these same criminals. In fact, criminals boast to our officers that charges will be pled down to simply trespassing, which bears no serious consequence. Without any judicial deterrence or consequence, it is no surprise that over the past year, UP has witnessed the significant increase in criminal rail theft described above. While we understand the well-intended social justice goals of the policy, we need our justice system to support our partnership efforts with local law enforcement, hold these criminals accountable, and most importantly, help protect our employees and the critical local and national rail network. Guerrero disclosed that over 90 containers are compromised per day. 90 containers per day. And the company has experienced an over 160% increase in criminal rail theft in L.A. County since December 2020. In several months during that period, the increase from the previous year surpassed 200%. In October 2021 alone, the increase was over 356% compared to October 2020. Looters and smash-and-grab gangs have elevated their thefts in recent months, from pharmacies to grocery stores to jewelry stores to expensive boutique shops. Thieves are becoming more intelligent and target high-valued items, almost like someone is directing them to what to target and how. Guerrero said that the thefts are so severe and costing the company millions of dollars that it has been contemplating serious changes to our operating plans to avoid L.A. County. I would just leave there. I'd leave. I'd never go back. Los Angeles is in a state of lawlessness, and there's no turning back. Far-left progressive policies transform the metro area into America's new Wild West. What the city needs is a regime change. Otherwise, businesses like Union Pacific will leave if criminals aren't held accountable for their actions. It is, if you just type this in, all along the train tracks, as far as you can see, there are boxes and stuff scattered everywhere. If they don't want it, they just open the box and they throw everything out. It's no good anymore, and they've done this. How many was it? 90 containers every single day. Who can stay in business like that? And you ship something from China or something, that might be yours, that they're just allowing people to steal. They're not getting booked for it. They're not being sentenced for it. They're not being held accountable for it. I would get out of L.A., and I would get out fast. It's like the movie Escape from L.A. What was the guy's name that did Escape from New York? And then
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, thank you. I can't even think today. I've got his face right in my brain, but I couldn't say his name. But yeah, Kurt Russell is the guy, and he got out of L.A., and I think everybody that's of a decent caliber ought to get out as well. Mail Online. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the U.S. economy has never worked fairly for black Americans in Martin Luther King Day speech. Let me ask a question. Have you seen any blacks leaving America to go back to Africa? No? Okay. Are more coming in from Africa every day? Then she is obviously insane, just like all of the left. They're all insane. This country has done more for the black person than any other country on the planet. Absolutely. I've served with blacks for years and years in the U.S. military. There was never an issue. We all worked together. We served together. It was a wonderful thing. We went to school together, and there weren't all these racial tensions that all of a sudden are cropping up when the left takes over. From the Daily Wire, National School Board Association is at risk of total collapse following letter comparing parents to domestic terrorists. From the Gateway Pundit, a year after dropping my pillow, Bed Bath & Beyond shuttered 37 stores. Lack of inventory cost them $100 million. Good. Mail Online, Joint Chiefs Chair Mark Milley. All right, traitor extraordinaire right up at the top of our U.S. military. Test positive for COVID. He's double vaxxed and boosted, folks. Zero hedge. China coal production hits record to avoid energy crisis. China. They're allowed to do it. Nobody else is. Well, India, too. Both of them get an exemption stamp, right? Breitbart. Ex-NFL player Nate Burleson claims volcano, tsunami, a result of climate change. That is one dumb person. That is one dumb person there. You know, do you remember the congressman? This is maybe stupider than that guy by a magnitude. There was the congressman that was having a briefing with a general officer. Okay, he's asking this general questions about Guam. He's laughing. He remembers this. He's laughing now, too. Okay, Guam. And we got a military base there. And he said, General, is there a possibility that we could put too much armament on Guam and the island flip over? Yeah.
Johnson
from Georgia. No kidding. And that general looked at him like, this is the stupidest human on the planet. And he said, no, we don't think that'll be a problem. Yeah. We got some real bright people out there. You know, I want to tell you something. Talking about bright people, I better say this right now. Okay. I was shopping today, picking up stuff for us to eat. All right. And while I was there, I was obviously not really thinking too well. And so as I'm checking out self-checkout, and the lady's watching and she's helping me because I'm incompetent anyway. But I took the blueberries and I set them down and they slid off of the thing. And there were blueberries all over Publix. So that was my little happy time today. While I was there, I was talking to one of the people. I talk to him every week and we have a nice conversation. He's a great guy. And his station where the stuff I buy from him is right next to where you get the food. You know, they prepare hot food and you get it yourself and you put it in there. He said, don't ever take your food from those. And I said, why? I mean, it's fresh. It's Publix. It's the best food in the world. He said, don't do it. He said, I stand here all day and I watch what people do. People, not Publix, people. He said yesterday there was a lady standing there with her finger going down into like the beans or something. Just doing it. Just standing there doing the beans. Then he says people will come and they'll take a bite of something and put it back in there. He said, let the people prepare it for you, but don't eat that. So, and this is a new thing with Publix. They started to put it where you do your own thing right up at the front. Don't do that. We got just a bunch of brainless people or just sick people in this world. So, Mail Online. Texas teenager, 17, is charged with murder for shooting his 15-year-old girlfriend 22 times in the back after she confronted him about cheating, is freed on bail in Houston. A liberal bastion. They freed him. Shot this girl 22 times in the back, and they let him out on bail. Mail Online. TSA reveals illegal migrants flying without proper ID can use an arrest warrant as identification. You have to have your ID and all that. Yeah. Okay, well, guess what? They got so much blowback after this came out 3 days ago. I saw an article this morning. Apparently, they have rescinded that, or they've just said, we don't do that. They do. Okay, and they know that, and they've been doing it, but now they're going to actually ask them to do something else or whatever. Doesn't make any difference because they get to fly everywhere for free. They come over the border, they put them on a plane, but they can use their arrest warrant as identification. Epic Times, Arizona, Texas have recovered all jobs lost during the pandemic. Oh, both Republican states. Huh. Okay, I've made this as easy as possible today because I don't want to think, and everyone here will get it, or you can walk out that door right now. Who said it? Hi-ho, Silver! Away! The Lone Ranger. Please leave. Okay.
Clayton Moore.
Clayton Moore is his dough. She even got his name. I didn't know who it was. I was this big when that came out. So Clayton Moore, the Lone Ranger. Okay, I got a Lesrick here for you. The AMA says to the court, your advice on the shot, we abort. You advise and consent while we voice our dissent. And to Joe, give a shot of support. There you go. Okay, we got a couple of ironies. I apologize in advance for all of my... I cannot think today. If this wasn't written down, I'd be even worse, but at least it is. So, anyway, we got a bit of irony here for you today from Mail Online. Indian man. Now, think of what he was doing before he decides what he will do if he... Okay, you'll see. Indian man who illegally received 11 doses of COVID vaccine goes on the run and says he'll kill himself if police prosecute him. He just went and got 11 vaccines, and now he says, if you prosecute me, I'll kill myself. That is a dummy. All right, now we got from PJ Media. This is irony overdose. I want you to know this, okay? Man herds his sheep into a giant COVID syringe shape to promote shots. Sheep. He's promoting shots, and that is irony overload, if you ask me, because I know what the Bible says about sheep, okay? Such is the world in which we live. And so from Sarasota, Florida, to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.